Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Now available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, PodcastOne.com, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Now, Tip, you brought up Think Like a Man 2.
I did.
What was the role that you would have been in Think Like a Man 2? I had the original cast already set up, Tip.
Man, and one of them. I don't care.
Want me to lose some of the people that was in the first one?
So be it.
These are the conversations that Tip and I have.
Kevin Hart who? Who the fuck? Listen, he got enough fucking work on him.
Think
Like a Man kind of set him up.
You did it.
Absolutely.
So you want me to fire him?
He doesn't. No, you don't. Hey, how about this? You're so booked up, Kevin. We're going to let Tip have this one. And, you know, you go ahead and
You have one of your artists, you come out and they bang, right? Triple plat.
Yeah.
You not doing the follow-up album with that artist?
I mean, you know.
I'm a diverse individual.
All of this shit is real. Everybody like, what is it? Is he a family man? Is he a trapper? Is he a ladies man? Well, I'm all of it. All of it.
I beat your ass, kiss your girl, and go tuck my kids in. And then I show up and lead a march on the weekend.
It's all real. Real, real.
This is Expeditiously. I am Tip T.I. Harris. Now, the following experience is not a test. The conversations and stories expressed on this podcast are meant to be an expression of purpose and truth. This show, properly entitled Expeditiously, is a free exchange of ideas and opinions. No judgment, no preconceived beliefs, no fear. You're encouraged to share your thoughts and ask any question as long as it's done with respect. And that's through true love and respect for others that we will change the world and speak truth to power, one show at a time. Now, without further ado, this is Expeditiously. I'm Tip T.I. Harris.
Hey, what's happening, man? This is Expeditiously. I'm your host, Tip T.I. Harris. Now, you all know here what we do is we have important conversations that can shape, mold, direct, and guide the generation, the culture, and the community. And we have those conversations with people who are relevant to the discussion. Now, our guest today, although he's a personal partner of mine, we met when this was our first time working together, my first time as a producer, and I learned everything I know about how to be a producer in film and television from him when we worked together on Takers.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Classic.
And his name is synonymous with success.
Mm.
It is Will Packer. Okay.
Mm.
Will Packer is the founder and CEO of Will Packer Media, a first of its kind media company producing episodic scripted and unscripted series across television and digital platforms, compelling content for brand clients and its own operated platforms. Prior to founding Will Packer Media, the Emmy-nominated producer, listen to that, established himself as one of Hollywood's blockbuster hitmakers, with 9 of his films opening number 1 at the box office.
Mm.
In 2013, Packer signed first look production deals with Universal Pictures and Universal Television. Under both deals, he develops new projects for the studios under his Will Packer Productions banner. That sounds like, you know, a nice little culmination.
Brother,
you
on a roll.
Hey, I'm just telling you what you're doing. I'm just telling you what you're doing. Now, Packer's number one films include Ride Along 2, No Good Deed, Think Like a Man, Ride Along, Think Like a Man 2, Takers, Obsessed, and Stomp the Yard.
Yes.
Now, I could go on and on, man, but we'll be here all day, and I'm sure he got other shit to do. So please welcome to Expeditiously my partner, the Hollywood icon and a community icon as well, Mr. Will Packer.
What's
happening, sir?
Listen, first of all, I don't know if people know. So you said Emmy nominated, which is true.
Yeah, absolutely.
You were in my Emmy nominated project.
Oh, you mean Roots?
Roots.
Oh, that was our Emmy nominated.
That was our Emmy nominated project.
All right, brother.
Listen,
brother. Thank
you. I appreciate you.
Thank you, man. It seems that
I got 10 number ones. We say 9. I claim Straight Out of Compton, which I executive produced. I got 9 I produced, 1 I executive produced.
Let's get it straight.
Number one is hard to come by.
We got the whole dime as if 9 wasn't enough.
Well,
you know what I'm saying?
I don't know who counts these things, Tip. I don't know who cares about these things. I just want it to be right.
If we're going to put it out there, put it out there all the way together.
It doesn't really matter. But it's 10.
Okay,
go
so
ahead.
10 consecutive number one films.
Yeah.
That's unprecedented.
Not consecutive. There was some gaps in between.
There was some gaps in between.
Yeah, all of them won number one.
Well, I know. I went to theaters around the country hop behind there, serve popcorn, and rented out theaters for Midnight Show. I did some Rudy Ray Moore Dolemite shit for Takers to get us past Exorcist to get to number one.
Do you
one.
Remember that?
I do remember that.
So, bro.
I had a deal. It was me and Feltheimer because, you know, Exorcist was a Lionsgate film.
Okay. John Feltheimer was the big exec over at Lionsgate at the time.
He's the head honcho over there.
He sure is.
And we have a very, very, very personal, like a cool relationship. And I was telling him, man, I'm going to hate to take that number one from you this week. And he said, you're not going to get number one. It's Exorcist. I said, I don't care. This is us. I'm doing it.
That is true.
And we got over the number. I think we beat them maybe by $12,000.
Like, I think it was like 20 grand. But it was super close.
But guess
like
what?
As close as it gets in Hollywood.
Those were the theaters that I had opened.
I have no doubt.
I booked theaters. And, you know, because let's say the last showing of a theater could be 10:30.
Yeah.
So I said, okay, well, give me all theaters playing Takers at midnight.
Yeah.
And I get on the radio and say, y'all meet me up here at this theater. We showing nothing but Takers at midnight.
Yes.
And I hop behind the counter, serve popcorn, take tickets, and did all
that. That, boys and girls, is how you hustle your way to the top of the game.
Absolutely.
That's how you beat films that have bigger budgets.
That's right.
That's how you beat films that have quote unquote bigger stars.
Yeah.
You go out and you have somebody on your team like Tip that's willing to go the extra mile.
Yeah, you call it nuts and guts, man. You know what I'm saying? Nuts and guts. No guts, no glory,
there
man.
There you go, baby.
Big
that's
risk,
that
big
grind.
Reward.
Yeah.
I mean, but you know what I'm saying? As much as I would love to take credit for that, I have to also allude to the fact that the week after the number one, I ended up, you know, making a U-turn on Sunset Boulevard that sent me back to prison.
Well,
but that has nothing to do with it. We still got
I was
going to
skip
one.
Over that. I don't know.
I don't know how deep we go. I embrace all of those experiences because it led to the man that's speaking to you today.
Since you did bring that up,
okay.
Can I also tell people?
Sure.
During the shooting of Takers, you were... you shoot a movie, it's long days, it's 12, 14 hour days, especially a movie like that, you got action.
Right.
Every day at lunch, you would bring in kids in the community to talk to them.
Right.
You were doing, it was part of your community service obligation.
Right.
It was also just the shit that Tip does.
Absolutely.
So every day when all the other actors, you know, they shooting the shit, they, you know, kicking it, working out, whatever, because, you know, that was Idris and Chris Brown
and Paul Walker,
God bless the dead. Absolutely. Tip would be having conversations with the youth every day. You never had a break on that show.
Yeah.
So I will absolutely give you that. And afterwards there was another, you know, it's life is all about hills and valleys.
Yeah, absolutely.
There was a valley afterwards. But during that show, I was extreme. And that was our first time working together.
It was.
I was extremely impressed with what you did and your work ethic. You were going above and beyond what you were required to do.
Right on.
To influence folks, the youth that would never have had a chance to come on a movie set and talk to somebody like you. So anyway, I'm going to put that out there.
Man, well, thank you. But I mean, you know, I think that you actually gave me an opportunity as a film producer. You know what I mean? Because at the time, I was coming off of ATL and then American Gangster. And, you know, I was a pretty big deal as far as, you know what I'm saying?
You ain't never not been a big deal, brother.
Not to myself. You know, I'm talking about other people taking a little longer to catch up.
Okay.
I think that for you to take that shot on me, you and Screen Gem, Clint Culpepper, you know what I'm saying, the whole team, for you to take that shot, for you guys to give me an opportunity as a film producer. And I remember telling you, man, like, I want to know what you do.
Yeah.
And you was like, well, just watch and don't expect to get any rest. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And it was a lot. And you, I think in layman's terms, what you told me was you have to be the hardest worker and you have to make sure that everything you're supposed to get for this film, you get it on time and on budget.
Yep, that's true. Because the buck stopped with you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So somebody listening to this podcast right now, like, yo, I want to get in the movie business. How do I produce? You are the final stop.
Right.
whether it's good or bad or in between, over budget, under, it right. all comes down to the producer.
And everyone else is allowed to make excuses but you.
You cannot make an excuse. You're right, bro. You're right, dog. For real, for real. You know what I'm saying? And if you ain't about that life, then you need to find something
yeah,
else.
Yeah, man, just be an actor. You can have all excuses you want. You know what I'm saying? It was everybody else's fault but yours.
Yeah.
You dig what I'm saying? You know, the world always pulled me to the side and say, man, when we going to do a Takers 2? When
Take
we going to do
two.
A prequel? Or when we going? Because people love those characters.
You know, it would have been so much easier if we hadn't killed everybody off.
Man, but see, the beauty of storytelling.
Yes.
You can tell the story of before. You could tell, you know, and we didn't necessarily.
I feel like you're working around to a thing where Ghost didn't die.
Ghost didn't die.
I feel like that's
die.
Where you.
Oh, that's a
Ghost
prequel.
Did die. We shot Ghost.
No, we didn't.
At
we didn't shoot
Van
it.
Eyes
not point
airport.
Blank. Not point blank. We you didn't know, stand over it.
I was talking to our good friend Idris Elba last
Yes,
week.
As was I.
Idris said the exact same thing. I said, come on, man. We killed everybody. Ghost died. Nah. Idris said, did Ghost really die?
Did Ghost really die is the question. You know, I mean, some would beg to differ. I mean, or even argue the fact: did Michael Ealy and Chris Brown's characters
oh,
die?
Man.
You saw him stumble out of frame, but we didn't see a flat line.
Listen, we're gonna do a Takers 2 and everybody live. Everybody.
We didn't say everybody. I'm just saying.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
Okay.
There's a way
That's
to do
valid.
It. Should that? Well, there's a will.
Yes. There's a way.
There's a way.
Hey, bro. Listen, I will tell you if we could find the right way in.
Right.
Because that's a classic, man.
It is.
People come up to me about Takers, and when has there been a good heist movie?
But guess
like,
what?
For
though?
Real.
This is the reason why I know that there's an appetite.
Okay.
People are remaking it.
Or trying to.
Well, exactly.
Yeah.
It's being remade.
Yeah.
So
I haven't quite seen anybody do it the way we did it.
Well, they can't do it, brother. They don't have us.
You know,
dig what I'm
tried,
saying? But I'm just saying.
That was a clean movie.
I'm talking about
y'all cast
was
in suits.
I'm talking about
we
for real.
Dropping armored cars through the middle of streets.
I mean, even, and,
blowing up helicopters.
And I tell Omar, you know I was the first ghost. And ghost, my listen. Ghost would kick your ghost ass any day of the week. I'm telling you that now. Hey, who doesn't need to find the best brands in all lifestyle categories? Combined with fast, free one-day shipping, free returns, and 24/7 customer care. Verishop. That's right, I said Verishop. It's a new online shipping site with fashionable brands that you need for every moment in your life, from women's and men's fashion to home decor and beauty and wellness. They get your purchases to you fast with free one-day shipping and free returns with no membership fee and no minimum purchase required. You shouldn't always have to scroll through hundreds of products to read thousands of reviews trying to spot the fakes in order to get one-day shipping. Verishop is the kind of online shopping site that you're going to want to tell your friends about. You dig what I'm saying? That's why I'm telling you. So shop Verishop for the fastest free shipping out there. And with my promo code, new Verishop customers can take 15% off the first purchase to try it out, okay? Just go to Verishop.com and use my promo code TIP. That's Verishop, Verishop.com with the code TIP. And that'll get you 15% off of your first purchase. Now, exclusions do apply. Now, let me ask you, did you ever think in your wildest dreams that you'd be here? You know what I mean? From going to a prestigious HBCU.
Yep, FAMU already. Come on now.
Did you ever think that you would blow up out of the stratosphere as far as film production and storytelling is concerned?
I did, man. I'm not going to lie to you. I did. Come on, man. I feel like you and I are like some potico. We think similarly in that way. Like, I'm sure... If you found a young Tip, there never was a time that you felt like there was a ceiling on what you could do.
Right.
I felt the same way, man. I didn't know exactly what it would look like, but I felt like I'm going to be the biggest. I'm going to be the best.
Right.
I'm going to take this game by storm. And I didn't know anybody in Hollywood. I was just, you know, trying to find my way, starring at FAMU, making my little tiny movies. But I felt like, you know, I'm going to the top.
Right.
I want the ultimate success. Even when I couldn't, like, envision what that was, I didn't even, you know... I didn't know how to define it, but I knew I'm going to work
right.
and bust my ass, and I'm going to get to wherever that is.
Right.
I didn't have like a picture of, oh, it's like this, and I'll have 10 number ones, and I'll have, you know, work with this actor, that actor. I just felt like I'm going to have extreme success in Hollywood. I always felt like that was possible.
Man, that vision is key. You know what I mean? Like you say, even if you don't know, you can't necessarily envision what that success would look like for you, but you know that it's there.
Yeah.
And it's yours.
Yeah.
I think that vision is key. And when you mention me, like, I always knew that this is what I wanted to do. I always knew that I was here to to lead by way of entertainment. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Mm. I just kind of saw myself as a Tupac. I saw myself as an Ice Cube. I saw myself in LL Cool J. Like, I could see that. As I saw, you know, I thought I had to grow up in order to do it. But then when Crisscross came out, I'm like, oh, wait a minute, we can do this now? Mm. And so I don't have to wait. Yeah.
A young cat in the South.
You know what I mean?
But when you talk about, like, you know, Cube and Pac and LL looking at people like that, what made you think that as a young Southern, unashamedly Southern rapper, you could have national success? That wasn't happening back then.
You see, I didn't understand regions. I didn't have a, you know, you have to teach limitations. You know what I'm saying?
That's very true.
So
that's very true.
I had no idea that, you know, that success was determined by what region you were from because of, you know, whether it's whatever platforms exist in New York or whatever platforms exist in L.A. All I knew was they dope. I'm dope. I'm going to go out here and get it.
Mm. So you never thought, okay, I need to be in New York or L.A.
No.
To do what I need to do.
No.
You never felt like that's where success is.
Mm-mm.
You know what's so interesting about that? I felt the same way. Because seriously, starting off in the movie business, like everybody was going to L.A.
Right.
Or New York.
That's true.
And I said, I'm going to do it here in Atlanta. It was me, my partner, Rob Hardy.
Right.
And we were coming straight.
A dope guy.
Dope director, absolutely. Right. We were coming out of family at the time. And to be honest, we were following in the footsteps of cats like y'all. Ooh. Right? So when we came out of college, that was the LaFace, Organized Noize, So Def rise.
On. Absolutely.
And we said, if they can do it in Atlanta, why go and be a small fish in a big pond like L.A.?
Right.
Why not see if we can't make it happen here?
Now, and I give you 100% credit for having a hand in Atlanta being a huge, huge go-to for film and television today.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, we know the Tyler Perry's of the world and all the astronomical steps toward progression he's brought to the city as far as film production and television production.
Yep.
But even back when Tyler was still doing plays.
He was doing his plays.
I think you did Toi.
We were doing our little Toi movies, our little erotic thrillers.
And y'all had an opening, I think, at the Fox.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? And that was a big-ass deal.
It was a huge deal.
You know what I'm saying?
You're right. You're absolutely right.
And that was before anybody was shooting movies in Atlanta.
It wasn't a thing.
Well, actually, I don't know. Did you precede ATL? Because I think ATL was probably—
What year was ATL?
2006.
We definitely preceded it with Toi.
Okay,
I shot Toi in 99 and released it in 2000.
Okay, gotcha.
Yes, so I was before you two.
Okay, well,
I just wanted to make sure you knew that.
All right, I beat you on one thing. Thank you.
Nothing else.
Well, thank you for bringing that up on my show. I appreciate that for telling all of my listeners that you.
It's my one thing. Can I have my one that I did better than?
No problem. Okay.
No, but yeah, it was before Tyler was doing the plays and we were doing our little small movies here in Atlanta. Atlanta had dried up. Back in the day, Atlanta was a hot spot to make movies. Like,
well, you got
BJ and the Bear, Cannonball Run, In the Heat of the Night. Like, all that was shot here.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Let's Do It Again.
Yes. Oh, if you go
Uptown
back to
Uptown Saturday Night.
Yes.
You know what
yes.
I'm saying?
100%.
Yeah.
So I came in with that generation kind of after that and was doing my little small movies and then, like, you know, bigger and bigger. And then, of course, Tyler came, loved what he's doing,
right
and then we all worked together to get the tax credit here.
Ooh.
At the end of the day, Hollywood's about money. They're going to go where
the money is.
Come on.
Yeah.
Where it's cheapest to shoot. I don't care what it is.
Right.
And so that is what has really propelled the film industry into what it is now.
Right. Now, what point in your journey did you see this exact vision for your life?
I saw it being possible after Stomp the Yard.
Mm.
That was the movie I was like, oh, I can play on the level with the big dogs. Because we were number one. That was my first number one movie. It wasn't number one in Atlanta.
Right.
It wasn't number one with black people.
Right.
It wasn't number one in the South. We were the number one movie in America. And I said, oh, I could do this.
Mm.
And then all of a sudden, people were returning my calls who I couldn't get on the phone before. That was a nice feeling.
Funny
you know
how that
saying?
Happens.
Oh, brother.
Funny
you want Hollywood to, you want to get Hollywood's attention, you make some money without them.
Hey, say, what's happening, man? It's Tip. I got some breaking news for you. This is an important PSA, and it's brought to you by Manscaped.com. All right. After more than 18 months of research and development, the Manscaped engineering team has confirmed that they successfully created and engineered the greatest ball hair trimmer ever. All right. Yeah. The new trimmer was released just moments ago. Okay. And we're the first to confirm the new and improved Lawnmower 3.0 Manscaping trimmer, now available for purchase. This third-generation Manscaped trimmer features a cutting-edge ceramic blade to prevent manscaping accidents. Now, you don't want to nick yourself. That's going to be a bad day for you. Millions of balls are about to be nick-free thanks to Manscaped advanced skin-safe technology. Now, I've been talking about Manscaped for a while now. You know what I'm saying? They've managed to keep my expeditiously listeners fresh and clean. Everybody know that, you know, when you got your lady and you're doing things and then, you know what I'm saying, when she end up doing something special for you, the last thing you want is her to come up picking pubes out of teeth. So to keep her from going through that travesty, what you can do is use Manscaped, okay? If you've used the Lawnmower 2.0, it's an easy transition to the 3.0 because it's the same replacement blade with new and improved skin-safe technology. Now, when I tell you this is premium, I mean premium. The battery will last up to 90 minutes so you can take a longer shave. Now, one of the coolest new features is the LED light, which illuminates grooming areas for a closer and more precise trimming. They've also upgraded to a 7,000 RPM motor with Quiet Stroke technology. If you listen to me speak right now, you're one of the first people to hear about this life-changing product, and I want you to experience it firsthand for yourself. Trim that junk of yours, all right? You trim that junk for less funk, okay? Get 20% off plus free shipping and use the code TIP at manscaped.com. And as always, your balls will thank you, and she will too. All right. Get yourself 20% off free shipping with code TIP at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. And you the code TIP. Now, the stories that you're telling are stories of young black adolescents.
Okay.
As they transition themselves from one level of life to the next, whether it's in a relationship, whether it's, you know, in college, whether it's a young bank robber, whatever it is, it's about, you know, young black kids, young adults that transition themselves from one level of life to the next.
That's a big part of our portfolio.
Where
for sure.
does the inspiration for your films come from?
Real people. Like the fact that I live in Atlanta and not LA, I'm there all the time, got an office there, all of that, but ATL is home. So I'm around real people. I'm influenced by real people.
Okay.
That drives the creatives for my movies and TV shows.
Now
it's not just like, you know, talking with all other Hollywood people. Hollywood tends to be like a bubble, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And they follow.
They follow each other, and everybody's trying to make
everybody
the
walking
same
in a circle,
thing.
Following the same each other,
circle,
around
they
in a circle.
Talking the same way.
Yeah.
I got to get out of that. You know what I mean? Yeah. Atlanta definitely helps. And then traveling all over, not just the A, but just traveling. And anyway, that's where a lot of the inspiration comes. It's from real people, not just Hollywood folks.
What makes you determine what stories to tell and not to tell? Because sometimes I know I might suggest something to you, be like, nah, Tip, that's a little dark for me.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
That's
so
true.
How do you, as the captain of the ship, determine what stories to tell and not to tell?
I always think about audience first, and is there an audience for it, right? Mm-hmm. It's too much content out there today to just make something because you can.
Right.
Especially me. I have to make something because I feel like there's a definite audience for it, and it can be made really well. So you and I talk about this a lot behind the scenes about the execution of it, right?
Sure.
There's a great idea. I'm like, okay, who's the writer? Who's the director? Who's going? Because we can have a great idea. In any movie out there that you've seen that absolutely sucked, you like, why did they make it?
Right.
At one point in time, somebody thought it was a good idea. I promise you.
Yeah.
Nobody intends to make a movie that's not good.
Somebody got added to the team that didn't pull their weight.
That is correct. Or multiple people got added. You know what I'm saying? That's usually what happens.
Yeah, somebody took too much money home.
That too. I'm trying to figure out how execution dependent it is, meaning it's a good idea, but it will only work if it is done a particular way. And if that's a very narrow window, I tend to lean away from those types of movies because the chance for success. At the end of the day, I'm still very analytical. I have a background in electrical engineering.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm analytical in the way I think about this stuff, dog. Honestly, I'm like, you know, thinking about it in like formulas and equations, even though it's a creative medium. So I'm thinking, what's the best chance for success? And I've been, you know, I've been all right, knock on whatever.
Now, I see a producer film producer and television producer as the owner of a franchise for every film, right?
Okay.
Because you have to pick a director,
yes,
which is like a coach.
Yeah.
You have to pick your star.
Yeah.
You have to pick, you know, your whatever studio you're with, which is kind of like doing a partnership for your stadium or your arena.
Right.
You have to, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So what tells you what a good director is, besides his, you know, the work that he's done? If you sit down with a first-time director, what tells you if it's a good director? What tells you if this star can carry a film?
Yeah.
What tells you if this film studio is right for this project?
Man, that's the secret, right?
Well, that's what we brought you here for, man.
I understand.
We brought you here to share the secrets.
That's where a lot of people get off. Right? Because you can have a great idea and put it in the hands of the wrong director or the wrong actors, and it's not going to win. I take a lot of pride in the fact that, you know, I think about cat skill sets. You know, Kevin Hart's first big commercial movie was mine, and
dope.
Idris Elba's first one, and Tiffany Haddish. Like, I think a lot about, all right, what is the skill set they have and how does it marry with the project? And then I think about the director and what's their skill set. Because a director... You know, the director for Girls Trip is not the director for Takers, and shouldn't be, probably, right? You know, you got some people that can do anything.
Right.
I'm trying to think very specifically, just like you said, like an owner or a general manager of a team.
Right.
I don't put the right players in place,
right,
the right people in position, we are not going to win, period. Right. I spent a lot of time thinking about that, dog. Who can I put in place to make sure this shit is going to pop?
Well, let's talk about a time where you didn't get it right.
Okay.
I want to talk about, tell me a time.
How much time we got, guys? Is the interview over?
I'm getting the wrap up. Now, wait a minute. I think we got a little more time.
We didn't have a lot of time.
We got a little more time.
Tip is bringing up failures.
But no, not necessarily failures. I'm talking about, well, let's do it both ways.
Okay.
Right. Let's do it a time where you had an opportunity to go this direction with this director, and you chose another, you went another way, and you felt like you'd have had a better outcome if you chose this one. Or a time where you thought that this was director, but you kind of went with another way and found success in it. Whichever way you'd like to share.
I mean, I've been very, very fortunate in my career. Like, I haven't had that, like, and as soon as I say this, this the clip you run back when I fuck up. I haven't had the theatrical bomb yet, honestly. Every movie I've made has made money. Part of that is the fact that I make it for a certain, you know, budget.
Okay.
But that's part of the game. You know what I mean? You make it for X, and then you, if the movie makes Y and Y is greater than X, you win.
Mm.
I gotta say, Tip, you know, the directors I've chosen are who were supposed to make those movies. I'm like, nothing jumps out where I'm like, fuck, I messed that one up in terms of who I put in position.
Right.
Some movies, you know, I wish turned out differently, but for the most part, I'll be honest with you, dog. I'm proud of my resume. Honestly.
You should be.
I really am.
Well, you should be. I mean, so what about, like, okay, when people say, because I got a lot of this, and I gave it to you when you called me, when you said, hey, Tip, I want you to do Roots.
Yeah.
I'm like, man, look, man, I called you about Think Like a Man 2. I called you about all these other movies you have that I could have been in, and you called me to do Roots. And I'm saying, man, what the fuck? Why do we need another slave movie?
Yeah, you did.
So how did you overcome the apprehension of that and decide not only to do it, but to do it the way you did it and have the success that came after it? How does that feel?
I knew that that young generation didn't know that story, and I knew it was an important story. And listen, I get it. There's a lot of fatigue around slave shit.
Right.
And stuff that shows black trauma, right? I'm tired of it my damn self. I get it. That was a story that I knew that a younger generation did not know. And having somebody like you in it made it accessible, right? It made it cool in a way that another actor would not. Right. And I knew you could pull it off. You know what I'm saying? Like, I've never, you know, we talk about this off camera, but there's never been a question about your talent. You know, you got a lot of people that will want to pigeonhole you because you come in with such a huge rap persona.
Right.
And you've recently obviously started to diversify with the TV stuff you do and all the different roles that you've done.
And expeditiously.
Expeditiously, for sure, is showing that, you know what, Tip is all those things. You know what I'm saying?
Right on.
So I knew having you would help to open up and broaden that. But man, I wanted to make that movie because I knew that the true story of like how we became to be, how Africans came to America, right, hadn't been told for a younger generation. That's really why I did it, dog. I'm proud of it. And it did well. A lot of people saw it, man. It did well. Emmy nomination.
It got nominated for an Emmy.
Yeah, man.
And I mean, I believe that that's probably one of the more serious, dramatic projects that you've taken on. That shows that, you know what I'm saying, that you're not just a one-trick pony.
I would agree.
Hey, listen, man, let me ask you a question. Have you gone online to expeditiously.com to order your Expeditiously merch, which is available for you right now? I'm talking about all the fly hoodies and shit you see me have on. We got different designs, different colors to match your lifestyle. Well, aside from that, I'm not necessarily trying to sell your merch, although you should go buy some. But as an entrepreneur, I can tell you that it's incredibly important to get your products to your customers as quickly as possible. All right? Now, if that's important to you, like it is to me, you can enjoy a hassle-free shipping experience when you use Stamps.com. It's one of the most popular time-saving tools for small businesses like ours. Stamps.com brings all the amazing services of the U.S. Postal Service right to your computer. So whether you're a small office sending invoices, an online seller shipping out your merchandise, or even for big businesses sending thousands of packages a day, Stamps.com can handle it all. Simply use your computer to print off official U.S. postage 24/7 for any letter, any package, any class of mail, anywhere you want to send. Once your mail is ready, just hand it to your mail carrier or drop it in a mailbox. That simple. Stamps.com is a no-brainer, saving you time and money. It's no wonder over 700,000 small businesses already use Stamps.com today. Right now, Expeditious listeners can get a special offer that includes a four-week trial plus free postage and a digital scale without any long-term commitment. You can use the digital scale for whatever you want to, whatever business you want. Anyway, just go to Stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in T.I. That's Stamps.com, enter T.I. Expeditiously. Thanks for listening to Expeditiously, now available on Spotify app and at podcast1.com. Hey, say man, I'm T.I.P., okay? And this is Expeditiously. I am your host. And we still have more show to go. Expeditiously continues now.
Now, Chip, you brought up Think Like a Man 2.
I did.
What was the role that you would have been in Think Like a Man 2? I had the original cast already set up, Chip.
Man, and one of them. I don't care.
Want me to lose some of the people that was in the first one?
So be it.
These are the conversations Kevin that Chip Hart, and I who? Have.
Kevin Hart, who? Who the fuck? Listen, he got enough fucking work already.
Think Like a Man kind of set him up on the trajectory. So you want me to fire him?
He doesn't. No, you don't. Hey, how about this? You're so booked up, Kevin. We're going to let Tip have this one. And, you know, you go ahead and
If you had one of your artists, you come out and they bang, right? Triple platinum.
Yeah.
You not doing the follow-up album with that artist?
I mean, you know. Is it Tip we're talking about here? I mean, see, it all revolves around.
Tip, you lying. You lying,
it
Tip.
It all revolves around.
That's not true.
What's going to be best for Tip? You see what I'm saying? That's what you're not understanding.
That's honest. That's real.
But listen, man. But and I always tell you, man. You know, one of the greatest. I'm talking about most genuine people that I've met in this business. And you do so many films. And you know, I haven't had someone who I am so fond of look the other way so many times when it comes. You know what I'm saying? You know, a lot of times. But we
gotta
still
get
friends.
The right role, man.
I've heard that 1,000 times. Okay. But you helped launch the careers of Kevin Hart, Idris Elba, Tiffany Haddish.
Yeah.
So many.
Yeah.
Your Christmas, like, you know, people, you must have excellent Christmases and birthdays.
Well, with people giving me gifts and
you
shit.
You got to.
They take care of me.
I mean, you know.
I ain't gonna lie.
Kevin Hart is a little slow. Hey, man, get Will a nice gift, man. You do not have to do that. Let's get Will a nice gift. He likes scarves. Let's get him an Hermann scarf or something, man. Get him a hat scarf set so we can get Tip back in the movies the way he should be.
I love it.
What has been your most successful film to date by box office standards?
Straight Outta Compton.
Okay.
That I EP'd.
Right.
And I think Girls Trip that I produced.
Girls Trip is,
yeah.
I mean.
Yeah, Girls Trip we did.
And so
like,
that wasn't a number one? Because I didn't see that on the list.
Are
you serious?
Yeah, man. We dropped in the summer. And we dropped against a war movie called Dunkirk. You remember that joint?
I remember it. I think that's the one that Angelina
Nolan.
Jolie directed, right?
No, no, no. Christopher Nolan directed it.
Okay.
It was, you know, big war movie. And those war movies, like there's one out right now called 1917 that's doing big numbers. Those movies do big. We knew that we were going to be up against something big, but we felt like we would be counter-programming is what they call it when it's like everybody going to see one thing, but there's a big audience that that movie doesn't speak to.
Right.
But yeah, they don't all open at number one, dog.
Now, speaking of Girl Trip, what do you look for when you select in the cast? Because that was although, you know, they're all, you know, powerful black women in that cast. Yeah. They're very diverse. It's diverse culmination.
Yeah.
And what makes you, like, select the cast?
Bro, an ensemble cast is the hardest thing to put together, dog. Honestly.
And you do it very well. You did it with Takers. You did it with Think Like a Man. You did it with Girls Trip.
It's tough. It's not easy because we can name a bunch of movies where the ensemble didn't work. Mm. And it ain't even about, like, having a bunch of stars.
It's about chemistry.
Man, it's about chemistry. That's it, dog. So, really, you know, we went to Regina first.
Okay.
That's my dog. I know her. Like, that's my go-to. She's amazing.
Right.
And then we went to Jada and Latifah at the same time. They hadn't worked together since Set It Off. And we felt like, okay, this pairing could be lit.
Right.
Them plus Regina, we knew we had, all right, we got three all-stars.
Right.
Then, for that fourth role, the studio wanted somebody that was on the same level as the rest of the cast.
Mm.
They wanted a name.
Right.
And we looked for a name, and we offered it to some names. Some people turned down that Tiffany Haddish role.
What?
Oh, yeah. And it was Tiffany.
Us who. Tell us who.
Well, you know.
Tell
I
us who. Who turned it down?
Listen,
who turned it down?
I got a good relationship
Who's the food?
In this business.
Who's the food?
They know. And I've seen them since and said, hey, when you going to put me in something? You know, and that's the business. You know what I'm saying? So then Tiffany came in and auditioned multiple times. And she jumped off the page. Like, everybody else was...
Man, Tiffany is lightning in a bottle.
Everybody else was playing the role as it was written. She was embodying the character and making the words better than they were written.
So you now have, a film that is coming out.
Yeah.
Tell us about
my new one, The Photograph.
The Photograph.
A black love story, Tip. Issa Rae.
Okay.
Yeah, my second movie with her, super talented sister.
Right on.
Lakeith Stanfield.
Man, he's super dope.
Yo.
I mean, has enormous range. I saw him. I saw him at the Bad Boys 3 premiere, and I just had to tell him, man, like, he got... I think the sky is the limit for bro, and he can do anything.
People going to be surprised. Remember that name, Lakeith Stanfield.
Yeah, he can do anything.
You've seen him, but you haven't seen him in this light. He's a true leading man in this movie.
Right on.
He pops off. He really does.
And so what's the premise of the movie?
It's a love story, man. It's about, it actually is what we call a parallel narrative. So it tells the story of Issa and her mom.
Oh.
And her mom is dead at the beginning of the movie, but is sending a letter back to her daughter about her life, her love, the mistakes that she's made.
Mm.
And we watch Issa and her mom go through their love lives at different times, but in similar ways. And Issa's trying to learn from the mistakes of her mom as she starts to date Lakeith Stanfield.
Mm.
I'll be honest with you, Tip, it's a beautiful movie, dog.
Amazing.
Stella McGee directed it. She wrote and directed the movie, and it's, it's a love story. So if you ain't got your Valentine's plans.
Right on.
I got you.
Man, you're
welcome.
Absolutely. When does it premiere?
Valentine's Day, February 14th.
Comes out February 14th.
February 14th.
So now next time when you come back, that whoever Issa's mom was dating on this parallel narrative could have been Tip. Just want you to know that. Take that with you. Okay.
Noted. Duly noted, sir.
Now, we also know that I think Idris told me, man, when we sat down and had dinner the other day, he told me that you got another talent, another skill that we don't know about. He said you got another skill we don't know about.
What
is
that?
You go share it with the people.
What is that skill?
I think you said you got some.
I got some
DJing
turntables.
Did you DJ at Idris's wedding? You DJed at Idris's wedding the entire reception.
I don't want to brag, but I am an international. I'm internationally recognized DJ. Okay, Idris Elba got married in Morocco.
Okay.
And, he had a couple of DJs because, he DJs had his buddies. But when DJ Willpower got on the phone.
Oh, DJ Willpower.
Oh, I got a name. Listen. Oh, you think, listen, why is Tip laughing like this? That's a real laugh. Do y'all hear this?
Hey,
this is
man.
A, listen.
Comedy.
I don't pigeonhole you. You are an amazing, you one of the best rappers out. I
absolutely.
Never have said,
no.
Why you trying to act?
No, I didn't
why
say,
why would
no,
you
I
pigeonhole
never
me?
I never asked. I never asked why you were doing it. I'm laughing at the fact that you have hid this talent
well,
from all of your friends and constituents.
I have it. At the crib. You got to come
really
to the crib.
Decades.
You got to come to the crib and let me do my thing.
So you got your turntable set up at the crib.
I definitely got my turntables.
What?
I'm definitely, listen, but I ain't bragging on it like that. I do it for fun.
What?
I'm not at the level of DJ that you are as actor. I will tell you that
well.
Now, okay? But I have fun with it, and I definitely got on the mic and on the table. D-Nice was actually on the tables, and I was on the mic, but it was
okay,
kind of
so
both
you was
of
the
us.
MC.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you got behind it.
And then I did. I can spin a little bit.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, man,
Tip,
I,
give me my
I
don't
can't wait.
Don't
I can't
down
wait to see.
Play my,
I want to see. Like,
well,
I wish we could. This is a strobe
no,
light. We could lower
no,
the strobe
not,
light
no,
and crank the music
no,
up.
I need
in
to
here.
Practice. I need to have all my little songs. I need
you
a playlist. I need my setup. I need my set. I'm just, you know.
But listen, man. Once you get your 11th number one here,
yeah.
with the photograph.
Oh man, that would be amazing, Pimp.
What we could do is, when is the like when you have the official premiere for it
in New York. Next to the 12th.
The 12th.
Yeah, the 11th. The 11th. You coming? You available?
I mean,
you,
you know what? If I'm available, I come up there just to see
that
you get behind
amazing.
The turntable.
Well, I didn't. Well, Tip, don't
the
put
after
that.
Party.
Don't put that pressure.
No,
on
I'm
me.
Just saying because I think that you know
if
that
you come,
would be,
I
yes.
will. I will have to get behind the turntable. Okay. All right. It might be the worst 30 minutes of the party.
Nah, man.
But we gonna have a good
no,
time.
No, if we don't have anything else, we're going to laugh. If we don't do anything else, this
hey,
is going to be an excellent part of the party.
Is entertainment, baby. You know.
Man, I can't wait. I look forward to all your films just to see who you put in there besides me. I'd be looking forward to like seeing you
Tip,
know
what's our what I, next movie we need I, to figure it out right now.
I mean for real
what's our next we got one we talked about off air I feel good about
sure
got to figure out the timing of it you know
I mean
what I'm saying?
Absolutely and I entrust that whatever it is you decide will be perfect. What you working on next?
Next is a gospel
perfect
hip hop. You didn't let me
finish.
You don't even
it.
Know the actors. You don't know the characters or nothing.
I'd be the shade tree crooked as a roach leg preacher. There's got to be one.
I can see that, actually. I can see it, and people would love you and give you money. Yeah, I got a music movie that's coming out, and it's
okay.
like a
see,
choir
perfect.
Competition. Choir competition, gospel,
which is a
hip hop mashup.
Which
it is big. I got.
You
I feel,
and
it's called
Perry
Praise.
Fight it out about that.
Well, you know, Tyler doing everything. He left that. He kind of doing his other stuff
okay.
now.
So you said he abandoned the trap?
I didn't say.
On,
well,
over,
you know, I'm listen. There's room for all lovers,
it's
but I'm gonna get in there
lovers.
And
absolutely.
Do my thing for
absolutely.
Sure.
Absolutely.
I made a movie called The Gospel. You know, Idris's first movie off the wire was called The Gospel.
Oh,
it was a gospel movie. It was him, Boris Kodjo, Nona Gay, and it was about him playing a Southern preacher.
Dope.
That was his first theatrical movie after The Wire.
Man, that is amazing.
You're welcome, Driss.
That is amazing. That is amazing. Another movie that you left me out of. Now, people always ask me about the favorite song that I wrote.
Yes.
What's your favorite?
What is the favorite song you wrote?
Man, they're like children to me. I would have to say the one that still kind of it grabs me to this day are the ones. It would be Still Ain't Forgave Myself, I Still Love You, and Live in the Sky. You know,
so all songs that have a lot of meaning behind them.
Yeah,
it's not
these are
like
really personal.
I know you didn't pick none of the fun Tip trap records.
I mean,
these
I like those records. They all like my children, but I mean, but like you know,
those are the ones that
they
really
remind
still
me of what got me here. They remind me of the adversities and the all of the conflicts I had to overcome
yep.
to make it to this place. In spite of that,
yep.
you know what I mean. So
yep.
I think the pain. You learn more from losses than you do from wins.
That's so true.
You know
that's
what I
so
mean?
True. And you gotta lose to win.
I don't trust a motherfucker who ain't never lost.
But there's people listening to this right now saying, I want to be Tip, or maybe even I want to be Will Packer.
Yeah.
And they don't understand how necessary the losses were, the no's were, the failures
gotta
were
find
to
the
get
lessons.
To where you and I sit right now.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Unequivocally. You got to find the lessons in the losses.
Yeah. My two would be Stomp the Yard, because that's before anybody in Hollywood was paying me any attention.
Right.
I couldn't get anybody to take me serious, and that was the one that put me on the map as a real quote-unquote Hollywood producer.
Right on.
And then the other one would be a movie that after I left, I was at Sony Screen Gems, and I was making movies with a guy named Clint Culpepper, who was the president of the studio at that time.
Very familiar.
My friend to this day. And then I left there and did Ride Along with Kevin Hart.
Okay.
And so people said, well, you can make movies if they're at Screen Gems with Clint, or you can make movies if they're with Kevin Hart. And
why would they say that?
Well, people were just saying, you know, you haven't had a lot of success without those two. And then I made a movie called Girls Trip, and it turned out to be one of the biggest movies of my career. And that showed that, yeah, you know what? Will Packer can go out and can work with amazing people. I mean, but can do it on his own as well.
I think that after then, man, but you were like what? You were like 9?
Yeah, I was out there. You were like, I was winning. But you know how Hollywood is, man.
They always want
to. A lot of my stuff was at Screen Gem, so they said, oh, you in that system. Then I did a bunch of stuff with Kevin. They said, oh, you in that system.
But I think that Hollywood, as well as the music industry, is about bringing people down to the level of the person doing the judging with doubt.
Mm.
You see what I'm saying? Mm. Like, because you have, clearly, you've established yourself as a top-tier producer, and instead of people recognizing you as a top-tier producer and paying you like a top-tier producer, giving you what you deserve, to bring you down to what they can afford. You dig what I'm saying?
Yeah.
What they say is, oh, well, you haven't done it yet. I don't know if I should. I don't think. But
yeah,
really,
you're, right.
You're just looking for excuses to not be fair.
That is the Hollywood way.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's like that in music.
Absolutely. It's like that everywhere. Listen.
It's like you got to fight through it.
Absolutely.
I'm always proving my worth. Always.
I mean, you know what, man? I feel that, man. I think that the HBCU in you is what kind of drives you through all of
that
these adversities.
Absolutely.
Now, we have first of all, let me say I appreciate you for coming.
Come on, man.
I know, man, there's a lot
appreciate
of places you can be,
listen,
man.
Listen, I don't know who canceled that allowed me to get this spot, but I'm glad to be here, brother.
Hey,
I appreciate you.
Like, hey, man, I'm glad to have you here. And we have a tradition here.
Mm-mm.
We have a tradition here expeditiously. The tradition.
I've been doing good so far. This is where it goes bad. I can feel whatever this is. Hey, I'm not prepared for
it. The tradition here is the word of the week. This will require very little to no input or any kind of work from you. All you have to do is nod and smile and act like you know what's going on.
Okay.
That's really all
I'm ready.
Do.
I'm ready. Word of
now,
the week.
The word of the week is a word that I choose from my elaborate vocabulary that I pull it from either the conversation or something about the guest.
Okay.
So the word that I've selected today, exponentially.
Okay. All
exponentially.
Right. Yes.
Exponentially is basically more and more rapidly.
Okay.
Exponentially.
Okay.
Now I'm going to use it in a sentence so people who listen can go on to work and stand around the water cooler, act like they done known the word their whole life, giving me and you absolutely no credit
no
at
credit
all.
No credit at all, right.
You know what
right.
I'm saying? So, exponentially, in a sentence. Will Packer had great vision for himself even back in his days at FAMU. However, after Stomp the Yard debuted at number one, his growth became exponentially undoubtable.
Oh, what? What? Scholar. There you go. Words to live by, ladies and gentlemen. Tip. The school of Mr. T.I. Harris.
Hey, man.
Take that.
Hey, listen. I appreciate you.
Come on, my guy. Thank you, dog.
I thank you for everything in the past. Thank you for being a friend in the present.
Yep.
And I thank you in advance
in
for
the
a new starring role that we're coming up
it's
with.
Coming.
All
it's
right.
coming.
And this has been Will Packer. Go see the movie, The Photograph.
The Photograph. Absolutely. Love
coming
story.
Out Valentine's Day.
Appreciate you.
If you're looking, all you guys out there looking for a very, very cheap way to celebrate your lady. You know what I'm saying, man? It's like $20 a head,
it's
man.
True.
Probably didn't take you another $20 for your
your concessions.
Yeah, you could take it to dinner before.
Or you can put some shit in the bag.
Why they gotta do this
in the bag? Look, I'm gonna tell you something. If you're with a young lady who smokes, do not smoke with her before you go to the movie.
Why?
Smoke after the movie.
Why?
You get the munchies. She get there to the stand, and then she want everything.
Now you out of $50 on sweet tarts and popcorn.
Man, when you could have just smoked afterwards and ate at the house, you could hook up some noodles real good if that's what you into.
I don't know what was more knowledgeable and important. Exponentially, or T.I.'s words to live by, don't let her smoke before the movie. I'm
don't
not
let
sure.
Her smoke before the movie,
both
guys.
Of those have a lot of value
I think so,
in
man.
Real people's lives.
And thank
I have
you.
Learned something
thank
today.
Thank you for adding value to our lives
thank
with
you,
your
family.
Storytelling.
Thank you,
man.
Fam. Appreciate it. Love you, boy.
Right.
My guy.
In a minute. This has been Expeditiously. Thanks for listening to Expeditiously, now available on Spotify app and at podcast1.com.
Expeditiously is produced, engineered, and edited by KC Morris.